Welcome, welcome, welcome to Armchair Expert. Happy Monday. I'm your doctor, Daniel Shepherd.
This doctor,
we're joined
Daniel
by
Shepherd.
Your surgeon, Monica Mouse.
Hello.
Can I take 1 second to say that our sweet, sweet friend, Wobby Wob, hasn't been with us this year. He's been working remotely.
He has.
And I don't want anyone to think that we've forgotten about sweet Wobby Wob or that we don't value him the most. We talk about Laura sometimes. She comes up with the guests. And I just want everyone to know that we fucking love Wobby Wob.
So much.
And we value him so much. And he's our spirit animal.
Yeah.
Okay, on to Rupert Grint. Rupert Grint. You must know him as Ron Weasley from the Harry Potter film series. Of course, Monica was all a titter and a flutter about this guest.
You were a flutter because you think he's the most handsome man in the world.
He's so handsome. Is it all right to say handsome when you're underage?
You were so taken aback by his maturity.
Yeah, in his sexiness.
Maturement. The fact that he matured in such a beautiful way in front of your eyes, you enjoyed that.
I really did. I was really excited. It was like a pop-out, but like a really positive pop-out. So, of course, he was in all 8 Harry Potters. Also, Sick Note, Moonwalkers, and he is on a show that I have since gotten addicted to because we interviewed him called Servant on Apple TV+. It's so creepy and so yummy. I really do recommend it. So please enjoy Rupert Grint. We are supported by Rothy's. Monica, have you heard about this company making stylish, sustainable shoes and bags? They're carefully crafted with eco-friendly materials like repurposed plastic water bottles and marine plastic.
I love that they're turning an issue into style.
You can find your new favorites with the latest Rothy's styles from comfy shoes, brand new bags, and washable masks. Now, I love Rothy's. I get my daughter's Rothy's. I love them because you can pop them right in the washing machine. Also, no complaining about breaking them in. They come super comfortable and they're crazy cute and stylish. They're available in a range of styles and come in ever-changing array of colors, prints, and patterns. Their shoes are knit with thread made from plastic water bottles. Rothy's has transformed over 75 million bottles into beautiful shoes, handbags, and face masks. Rothy's signature thread made from repurposed plastic water bottles minimizes their impact on the planet and maximizes comfort for you. Check out all the amazing shoes, bags, and masks available right now at rothys.com/dax. That's Rothys.com, Rothys.com/Dax. Style and sustainability meet to create your new favorites. Head to Rothys.com/Dax today. We are supported by BetterHelp. If you're having trouble meeting your goals or difficulty with relationships or trouble sleeping or you're feeling stressed or depressed, BetterHelp is available. BetterHelp offers online professional counselors who can listen and help. Simply fill out a questionnaire to assess your needs and BetterHelp will match you with your own licensed professional therapist and you can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is secure online professional counseling. BetterHelp counselors have a broad range of expertise which may not be available in your area. You can log into your account anytime and send unlimited messages to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, and everything you share is confidential. You won't ever have to sit in an awkward waiting room again. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so it's easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. Monica and I are both big, big proponents of therapy and talking to someone to help get you an objective opinion on what's happening. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Armchairies get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/Dax. Visit BetterHelp, HELP.com/Dax, and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced BetterHelp professional. He's an armchair expert. He's an armchair expert. Good morning. Well, again, good afternoon.
Hi. How you doing?
Good. I'm so glad we tried again.
Yeah. I think it's all good now. Got a really good feeling about it.
Yeah, me too. I think it might have been a blessing in disguise, Rupert, because I ended up watching 3 in a row, The Servant.
Oh, really? Wow.
Oh, and I am addicted now. So I think this was oddly like a wonderful thing that happened. Oh my God, is it creepy? I can't wait for Monica to watch it, but I'm afraid you probably won't be able to watch it by yourself.
Is it scary?
It's kind of a different scary. It's not really so many jumps. jump scares. It's just generally disturbing.
Yeah, it's not pop-outy and it's not gory, but it's twisted.
Ooh.
But the food is kind of gory, I find.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's loads of cooking in it and like eels.
Oh, the eel scene is insane. Oh,
yeah.
I was thinking, boy, that must really be how they do it, huh? They nail an eel to a board?
Yeah, they've really researched how you would do it. Because originally in the script, it was kind of impossible because it's such a slippery thing. So they came up with this idea of nailing it to a board, kind of like stigmata.
Yeah, very stigmata. I won't be giving too much away about it because you find this out in like the first 10 minutes of the pilot. But Monica, here's the premise. A couple has a baby. And the baby's probably 11 months old in the story. And they hire a nanny that they found from a farm in Wisconsin. And she arrives and they show her around the house. She's very modest and meek. And we find out on the first night, she prays. She's religious. She's very quiet. And at night, we see the father go into the baby's bedroom and sit by the crib. And he's crying. And we see that the baby is a doll.
Ooh.
It's like a really lifelike doll.
Ah.
And so you're like, oh my God, what the fuck is going on? And then in the morning, the new nanny gets up and she goes in there and she says, wake up. And she takes a baby to the stand and you keep waiting for her to realize it's a doll. And she just never does.
Oh, wow.
And then so she brings the baby down, and then the mom's going to go to work. That's why they got the nanny. She wants to return to work. And the mom leaves, and he basically says, like, you don't have to
pretend.
You don't have to pretend. Like, you can go out. You know, she's grieving. We lost our son.
Oh, God.
And she's so confused by what he's saying. He's like, what are you talking about? And then Rupert plays the mom's brother, and what a wonderful departure for you. You're like a Philadelphia guy. I don't know yet, but you seem to have a drinking problem.
Yeah, among other things. Yeah, he's kind of like everything he can take.
Yeah.
Very different to anything I've done before, but he's just, he's such a douchebag.
Yeah, well, what's interesting is everyone is unlikable.
Yeah.
And I was thinking the whole time, if I had created the show and I was casting people, I'd have to have a conversation with them that would go like this, like, listen, you can't get protective of your character. You're an asshole. Like, you have to commit. Mm-hmm. If you want to come onto this project, you have to commit to being very unlikable and not protect yourself. And I wonder if there was any conversation like that.
Not so much, no, because, I mean, really, especially in season one, everything was kind of shrouded in mystery. Night kind of, we didn't really get all the scripts. We didn't really know where it was going. And I think it's in me somewhere, this kind of dark side.
Of course.
I really loved tuning into that.
So yes, you as a human being, of course, are multifaceted like we all are. You're a piece of shit some days and you're shockingly kind and benevolent on other days. But I'd imagine you have a similar thing that happens here with actors and singers who are on the Mickey Mouse Club.
Sure, yeah.
Where they go in like one of two directions, like they have to reclaim their adulthood. They have to like, and often the singers have done it through like really outward sexuality. Like, no, I'm done with Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
And now I'm a sexual being and you're going to have to just accept that.
You mean Disney?
Specifically the Mickey Mouse Club, like Britney Spears, Timberlake, Christina Aguilera.
That's true.
Miley Cyrus. That's Disney.
Okay, right.
That's now it's on to your point. Yeah, now I'm mixing metaphors. But I do wonder, like, as you were doing all of the Harry Potter movies, did you at all fear, like, oh, I'm not going to be able to be multifaceted. I'm going to be, you know, safe.
Yeah, I mean, I really wasn't kind of aware of it, really thinking about it. For me, I was just all about the books. I was a huge fan of the books, and I was obsessed with that character. So for me, it was all about being Ron. I didn't really see kind of career after Potter was done. I didn't really see that far ahead. But I guess, there was definitely a time where it felt quite suffocating. Cause I mean, it was heavy going. It was kind of every day for, I think, 10 years in the end.
Yeah, that is wild. Almost no one's even been on a TV show for 10 years.
Yeah, it's a long time. The movies take a year to shoot. And I mean, it was a great experience. It's such a nice kind of family atmosphere. It was always kind of all the same crew that we kind of grew up with. So it was a great place to be, but sometimes it definitely felt like I want to do something else, see what else is out there.
Yeah, well, I would imagine just the sentencing of it. Like, at some point, it must occur to you, like, oh, man, this is going to be great. Oh, my God, we got four more books to go. Oh, God, you guys are going to split the last book into two. Like, it's almost like a sentence. Like, just, yeah. I guess, there's something about if you do a movie, the notion of it becoming a sequel is like, you would wish for it, because it doesn't happen to barely any movies.
Yeah.
And so, it's all like mental framing, but if you enter something knowing that there's going to be seven of them minimally and then ultimately eight, I could see where it would start to feel like homework to do. Like, well, we got to get this done.
Yeah. Yeah, it's for sure. And that kind of grew as we went along, because I think when we first started, only maybe three or four books were out. And it was originally only going to be two movies, and they were going to kind of see how it goes. And yeah, I mean, it just never ended. It just, every year it came back. And it was kind of like Groundhog Day, because it was always it was the same sets, it was the same people, it was but it was great. I loved it. I still have, I mean, it's 20 years ago this year, I think, when the first film came out. It's just insane. It's hard for me. I've got a very different perspective of it now that I'm out of it, and it's been kind of a long time has passed. I can appreciate what a thing it was.
I bet it'll continue to evolve as well. I can't imagine you're actually like through with your final perspective on it.
Yeah. Sure. I think definitely. I think now I've got a kid.
Right.
That's going to be a whole new kind of era, I guess. Sure. I mean, I don't watch them. I've seen the first one maybe twice now, and once quite recently. But I haven't really watched any of the others. It still feels too soon, really. I can't detach myself fully. I can't face it.
Okay, so there's many different motives for people not watching stuff. What is yours?
I can't really put my finger on it, because it wasn't like it was a bad experience. It made me so conscious of my face. Of like what I'm doing. And I could almost feel myself doing things. And I just, from then I just kind of stopped. And I like being in the moment and creating it and then just leaving it.
I think that's the healthiest perspective to have. I am the other side of it. I'm so disgusting. If I do something funny, I want to go watch it on the monitor.
No way.
Oh, can I? And then maybe I can fall higher or whatever the thing is. But I have had the experience. I hosted a game show last year. And I was so out of my comfort zone. And I was occupying this role that I had grown up seeing people do, like Pat Sajak or Alex Trebek or these famous people. Yeah. And I can't make the leap to that I'm now doing this with this preposterous wheel behind me. So that I never want, I like avoided the monitors. I've never seen it. But for me, it's more because I was afraid if I saw it, I'd no longer be able to do it. Like, I would just lose all confidence. Like, if I see what a terrible job I'm doing, I won't be able to continue.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I can completely relate with that.
I think there's also something to when you're involved in something that takes so much energy and so much time, that even with this show, like, we'll record it and then I go back through and I'm editing it and I'm spending all this time in there. And I really, really love it, but I really do not want to listen to any of the episodes again. Like, I
kind of
actively, like, I'm like, I do not want to listen to them, because you've already put all the energy in. And it, I don't know, it almost feels like, oh, I should have done something else here. Or I don't know. There is something weird about that.
Oh, yeah. You're just so critical of yourself. And I really struggle. And actually, watching interviews is the worst thing for me.
Oh, here's where I'm disgusting too. I love watching myself on late night talk shows. Isn't it repugnant, Monica?
No comments.
I wish I had that.
I don't want to see the ones where I'm pretty sure I did shitty, but looks. Okay. I promised Monica I would tell you this. People who listen to this show have heard this dozens of times. I'm obsessed with how handsome you got. Like, I am obsessed. I don't know what even chapter of the story it is, but my daughter started going through it. And there, I want to say it was like the third or something. It starts on a train. Maybe it was a little later. Maybe it was the fourth or something. And I'm like, Lincoln, how gorgeous is Ron Weasley?
No way.
And she's like, no.
I was losing
my mind. I was like, he is so fucking good looking. You know, who cares about anybody else? Look at this guy. I was really bowled over with your looks.
I don't believe you.
Yes. Oh, no, he did. He was telling everyone. Because it was over a period of time where everyone was watching the movies again, and like every 5 minutes, just like,
look at this guy.
He's so handsome.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of transformations. Because we were so young, it was such a long time, you see us kind of grow up. Like Matthew Lewis, that was like, he completely blossomed into something completely new.
Right. And I think when you're watching them, for me, because I'm a piece of shit, everyone starts out cute. They cast all these cute kids. You were 11, right?
Yeah, I was 11, yeah.
So everyone's adorable, and I'm watching with great anxiety that eventually someone's got to look crazy. It's just it's the law of the jungle. Something's going to happen. And so I do think I'm paying way too close of attention to that. And so, boy, my delight when I saw what you were turning into as a young man, I was just like, God damn, they had the crystal ball or something.
Yeah, all three of you.
Yeah.
There were some awkward stages for sure.
Not for you, bud. You, oh my God, I couldn't get over it.
My hair in film 4 is one of my biggest regrets.
Oh, tell me.
Shoulder length. I had my hair down here and it was, I don't know. I think everyone actually had a phase of kind of having this really long hair. They liked it was kind of wizardy.
Wizardy.
We went through our kind of puberty on camera.
Yeah.
So,
you kind of see it all. Well, not at all, but... it is very cringy.
Yeah.
That everyone in the world saw.
Everyone saw, yeah. And people, when you meet people, they feel like they kind of know you because they grew up with you. It kind of becomes such a huge part of their childhood.
Of course.
It's an intense kind of relationship.
Absolutely, because you're defining, not unlike music can, you're defining an era of their life, of their transition. Sure. We've talked about this before. In fact, we just interviewed Amy Poehler, and like, there's a pretty big spectrum. When you're a comedian and you're out in public, naturally people are like, oh, I'll go kick this guy in the back of the knee or grab him by the neck, you know, because you're a good time Charlie and they expect that from you.
Now,
if you see Angelina Jolie, you just kind of stare from across the room and you're nervous you'll like embarrass yourself in front of her, so you might not even approach her. But I got to imagine for you, you're in the comedy camp. Like, oh, I went to school with this guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, a lot of kind of wand innuendos. I get a lot of that.
Yeah, it's. I don't know that I can make an equivalency to something like Harry Potter, where it was over such a long period of time, mainly the books. Mm. It came out over this period of time. The generation mine that followed it.
Didn't you make your parents take you to the bookstore super
early?
Yeah,
no, for like multiple of the books, I did like the midnight buying.
God,
I just loved them so much. And we were growing up with those characters, like almost at the exact same time, you know?
Right.
And it represents so much. I mean, we've talked about this before, but on this show, on one of our fact checks, we sorted Dax on the Pottermore site.
Oh, yeah.
And then we were like jokingly talking about Hufflepuff and some stuff. And people got so, I mean.
Yeah.
Truly her.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, their identities are so connected to this world. I just don't know anything else that's like it.
Yeah, it's probably a one in of itself. Other than maybe like the Lord of the Rings people probably
experience. That's only three. Like, this is so vast.
Yeah.
That's true. And everyone that was born and liked Lord of the Rings were reading those books long after they
and
were
no
published.
And no one thinks they're like a elf or whatever. People think they are Hufflepuff, but then you're the representation of all of that. That's like so much.
Yeah.
Was there a level that was unmanageable?
No, I mean, because we were always just so busy. We were making the movies, so we were kind of not so much exposed to it. But I think, yeah, there was definitely times of like, you see it like premieres and gradually kind of getting used to the amount of people that you're kind of losing your anonymity and never really being invisible anymore. Just that kind of gradual change was, I think it was definitely hard to kind of get your head around because I'm quite a shy, private person and suddenly to be kind of put in that world, it was overwhelming for sure. And also the responsibility as well because, as you say, the fans of the books and they hold these characters in such kind of high regard in there.
Were you ever like shit-faced at 18 and smoking a joint and it crosses your mind like, oh, fuck, I hope the Potter world doesn't somehow find out about this. Like, I imagine you live with a little bit of a burden hovering above you.
Definitely, yeah. It was such a kind of buzzkill whenever you were out. Because you do kind of have to think about it. You can never quite relax.
Right.
Because I guess you are kind of this role model figure. It's hugely important to these fans. So it was always, I mean, it didn't really stop me from having fun, but
yeah,
it was always a kind of a bit of a shadow.
Now I have one more question about this and then I'll let it go. But the other thing I imagine would be interesting is, like, at some point you guys were loaded. So if I was in that cast, right, and I'm on movie 5 and I'm 17, guess what? Dax Shepard would be driving a Ferrari to work. It would probably be so weird. And I think the other adults who met me as 11, that would be interesting for them. What was that aspect of it like?
Yeah, really strange. I don't think it ever really dawned on me really when I got the part that that was going to be a big part of it. But yeah, I mean, gradually it became too much too young, for sure. I just didn't know what to do with it. It's quite overwhelming. Like, I literally did not know what to do. I mean, I brought a hovercraft and an ice cream van. That was like kind of first two things.
Wait. You bought a hovercraft and an ice cream van?
Yeah. That was my first car.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And then a legit hovercraft that you could take out over lakes.
Legit hovercraft. Yeah, that was sick.
I've always wanted one of those. Do you still have it?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I still have it. I haven't been in it a long time. I crashed it quite badly last time I was out because it's impossible. There's no brakes.
Right.
You can't really see. There's a tree like a mile away. You're probably going to hit it.
The only way you can get out of a situation is to turn it and apply more throttle, right? So you're like, right when you're getting scared, what you have to do is like floor it in the other direction.
Yeah, it's lethal. It nearly killed me. But yeah, no, it was a lot to kind of take on, but it was amazing. It was so much fun. And I went through a phase of loads of animals. I had like alpacas, pigs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a whole thing.
What an interesting interest for you. At what age was that, 18?
Yeah, probably around that, 16.
Wow.
Okay, to psychoanalyze you, to me that tells me you want to like be on a farm.
Yeah, that was the idea. But it was chaos. Alpacas are insane.
Of course. Did you have fantasies of like yielding wool from them?
No, I don't know what it was about, really. It's hard to kind of now, looking back in hindsight, rationalize it. They're not with me anymore. They went to a responsible alpaca farmer.
You loaded up the hovercraft and dropped them off?
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, I guess I just did stupid things like that.
Were you living with your parents still?
Yes, at that age I probably was, yeah. I'm from a big family. I'm like one of 5 and we had a field.
And you stalked it.
Yeah. But yeah, nowadays I'm a lot more kind of sensible, I guess.
Sure.
I haven't done anything mad like that in a while.
Now, your dad growing up, he dealt race memorabilia?
Yeah. He had like a store where he sold like coffee tables made of like tires. And he sold them on QVC.
No kidding.
He was on QVC, yeah.
Was he someone who had fantasies of being a race car driver himself?
Yeah, and he did for a while when he in his kind of early 20s. He was I don't know if it's big in America, rally.
Oh, like, yeah, baby. I mean, it's not big in America, but yes, I love rally.
Yeah. So he used to do that kind of rally stages. My brother does it as well.
No kidding. So he is a fearless gentleman, your father.
I think that's always been a big part of my family, like cars. Every grint male has got some job related to cars. I'm kind of the only one who doesn't.
Was he so sad you weren't taking your fortune and starting a race career? I would have been heartbroken if I were him.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, he had my brother. He did it for a long time and he was good. Mm. I was never cut out for that. I'm not fearless.
Right. What order are you in these 5 kids?
I'm the oldest. And there's kind of exactly 2 years between us all. So it's kind of a good spread.
Then I feel like you're breaking the conventional thing. Because you feel like a middle child to me. I'm a middle child. You feel
I get that a lot.
Like a peacemaker.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm not the kind of typical oldest child. I think my brother was always physically bigger than me as well. So I never really felt like I had this kind of authority. He was always the one that was the protector. And like, he'd stand up to the bullies.
Oh, is he redhead as well?
No, my sister. I have a sister who's red as well. But my parents, it's kind of a mystery where it came from. It's a weird gene.
Can I tell you, I only had 3 rules in fighting other men. There were only 3 men I wouldn't fight. I would not fight a man who took his shirt off immediately, because that's a man who's ruined so many shirts that he's learned to take it off before things get going.
Yeah, yeah.
Two, I would never want him to fight a married man, because you're fighting his children, his wife. He's got a lot going on.
A lot of stake.
And then third, I don't care if the person was 80 pounds. You just don't fight a redhead. The gnarliest fight I ever saw in my life was in junior high, and it was these two redheads, and they were so angry. They were crying while they were fighting, and they were just not quitting. There was some, they had a gear.
Crying.
Yes, bawling and angry, but they didn't care that they were crying. They were fucking, I mean, and then I've since seen like, I bet I've seen probably seven fights with redheads, and every time it was really something else.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't think I've got that fiery, because that is a, that is kind of a redheaded thing.
But what about when you're really pushed to the edge?
No, I don't really feel anger. I can't remember the last time I was angry.
Oh.
Wow.
I'm quite a laid-back person in that respect. I avoid confrontation.
Well, just know I'd let you push me around, because I, despite what you say, I'm going to keep this rule.
It's a good rule. I'm gonna use that as well.
Yeah, you're nervous, Monica.
No, there's just you know, there's that,
the anesthesia thing.
Yeah, pain.
Yeah, there's a weird thing. You know, well, you would know that redheads respond differently to anesthesia.
I've heard this. Yeah. What is it? It's like we feel more pain. We have a lower tolerance to pain.
Yeah, that's the rumor. I don't know if that's true, but. Do you feel pain?
Yeah, I do. I do feel pain. It's funny. Yeah, I do. And spice. Like, I don't know if it's that really is related, but like, I have no tolerance for like spicy food.
Interesting. Even, like,
ketchup for me is like on the edge.
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think they are supposed to be more sensitive. Like,
oh.
And also, maybe that's why those guys were crying, because it hurt so bad that they were beating each other up.
I think they're all fighting for their life. Whereas, like, other guys were just fighting for some status in the group. They're, like, their life felt like it was on the line, maybe. I want to recommend a book to you.
Oh, yeah, go.
Still Life with Woodpecker. Have you ever heard of that book?
No.
Okay, I think it's Tom Robbins. We'll fact check it. It's definitely Robbins. I think it's Tom Robbins. Still Life with Woodpecker. And it's basically an homage to redheads and the value they've had throughout history.
Oh, really?
And it's this really fantastical fairy tale-y story. He's a great author. He also wrote Even the Cowgirls Get the Blues, Jitterbug Perfume. Great author. Anyways, please read it. Especially if, did you just have a daughter or a son?
Yeah, no, I just had a daughter. Yeah.
Oh, congrats.
Thank you. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. It's kind of weird having it in during a pandemic. I think it's been a blessing in disguise. We've had all this time to like kind of lock ourselves in and work it out. No kind of outside interfere, like, we've really bonded, and I'm loving it. It's great.
Yeah, because when we had our first daughter, I basically wanted the whole world to go away, and I just wanted to sit in the bed and stare at that little Subway sandwich. And then the only thing that got stressful is, like, you felt like you were missing out on a lot of stuff. Like, oh, this is so lovely, but also I'm completely missing my life. Whereas I feel like in quarantine, you're not missing a damn thing.
No. All you've got to do is just bed down. And I mean, it's weird for her because, like, she hasn't really seen any other humans apart from us and our kind of extended family occasionally. So it'd be interesting to see how she develops if this can kind of continues longer.
Does she have red hair?
She did when she was born. She was bright red, but I don't know if that was blood. But no, she was definitely ginger. I mean, she looks ginger, like, you can tell. And like,
now, speaking of COVID, you have the unique distinction of having caught H1N1 swine flu back when it was around.
Yeah, really weird. It was insane. It was right during maybe the fifth film had just been released. Yeah, and I went down. And it was like weird one where I was hallucinating. I went outside in the middle of the night once, chasing a fox, I think. It was insane. It was the kind of the worst I've ever felt. And it was for like 2 weeks.
You know, the unfortunate thing about H1N1 is like swine flu. We've talked about that. What a foul name for something.
Yeah.
And somebody's like, it's like, you don't want to tell anyone you have it because you have to say swine flu.
Swine, yeah.
Oh.
It's kind of the worst one, isn't it? But did it come from pigs?
Well, it has to.
I think so.
So, but it makes me think that the person suffering has like cross-pollinated with a swine.
Yeah. It's the worst one.
I mean, outside of like, if there was like diarrhea flu.
Ew. Well, I'm just saying, what could be diarrhea?
Well, that's right. But I'm just trying to think if anything could be worse than swine. Rat flu?
Well, I mean, this is all bat related.
Yeah. And pangolin.
Ew.
So I guess when this started breaking out, were you like, well, fuck, last time I got swine flu, I'm likely to go down with this. Yeah.
It was my first thought. Yeah. I must be susceptible to like these weird kind of viruses. But yeah, no, I think, yeah, so far I haven't caught this yet. I'm kind of surprised I haven't.
I bet your family was shocked. They were like, oh, I would have guessed alpaca flu, but not swine. I don't even think he owns any.
We did have pigs. We did have pigs for a while as well. That was after.
Stay tuned for more Armchair Expert, if you dare.
We are supported by Bombas. Bombas makes the most comfortable socks in the history of feet. They've literally rethought every little detail of the socks we wear to make them way more comfortable. We're both in Bombas right now, Monica.
I know. Mine are really cute. They have a nice design. And yours do, too.
And yours are mine.
Yeah, I also borrowed your socks and my feet were very cold.
They were cold. So one of the things they don't promote is how warm they can make your feet feel.
True.
Now, I wear them every day. They're so stylish. I love being flashy with my sock choices. But these socks do much more than keep feet cozy. They help give back to the most vulnerable members of our community. Because every pair of socks you purchase, Bombas donates a pair to someone in need. The generosity of Bombas customers has allowed them to donate over 40 million pairs of socks and counting through their nationwide network of 3,000 plus giving partners. And the impact is more powerful than ever. To those experiencing homelessness, these socks represent the dignity of putting on clean clothes, a small comfort that's especially important right now. Give a pair when you buy a pair and get 20% off your first purchase at bombas.com/Dax. That's bombas.com/Dax for 20% off your first purchase. bombas.com/Dax. We are supported by stamps.com. Let's face it, taking trips to the post office is probably not how you want to spend your time. That's why I recommend mailing and shipping online at stamps.com. Stamps.com allows you to mail and ship anytime, anywhere, right from your computer. Send letters, ship packages, and pay a lot less with the discounted rates from USPS and UPS and more. Stamps.com has been a sponsor of this show since the early days, helping us get our mail out and save money. We use Stamps.com to send all of our merchandise. It makes Carly's job so much easier, and we save a bunch of money in the process. Stamps.com brings the services of the U.S. Postal Service and UPS right to your computer. Simply use your computer to print U.S. postage 24/7, any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send. And once your mail is ready, just schedule a pickup or drop it off. It's that simple. And with Stamps.com, you get discounts up to 40% off post office rates and up to 62% off UPS shipping rates. Stop wasting time going to the post office and go to Stamps.com instead. There's no risk. And with the promo code DAX, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to stamps.com, the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in DAX. That's stamps.com, promo code DAX, stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. All right, so I had two really big exciting shocks for Monica. One was, of course, that you guys have the exact same birthday, and Monica's 1 year older than you.
Oh, yes.
So fun. Dave Chappelle, we discovered, also same birthday
buddies.
But I'm going to knock you on your ass right now.
Okay,
Rupert carried the fucking torch.
Really?
Oh, yeah, he did, yeah.
Oh, we're obsessed with the Olympics.
We love the, Summer Olympics.
Was it summer?
Yeah, when London hosted. 2012,
yeah.
Tell us everything from the phone call to the what did you wear? How long did you have to run? Were you panicked it would go out? Like, walk us through this.
Yeah, it's kind of a bit of a blur, to be honest. It was such a kind of hysteric time, like having the Olympics in London. It was such an honor to be asked.
Like, what were some of the other non-athletes that were doing what you did? Ricky Gervais run any?
I think he did. Well, the same stretch I did. You do it in like little stretches and you have to wear this whole thing. I'm far from an athlete. So you have to wear this like sports kit.
Is it like flame retardant?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, but it couldn't have been like a gas thing in there. But it didn't go out.
Was it spandex? Were you in like Lycra?
No, I wasn't in Lycra. I was in this kind of like, maybe it was. It wasn't kind of snug fitting. It was kind of a loose fitting kind of like track.
Oh, thank God.
Track, yeah. And I was running, I don't know how far it was. It was all, as I say, it was kind of a blur. I know I met Boris Johnson
for
the first time when he was the mayor.
Was it heavy? Do you remember
Yeah,
that?
How heavy was it?
The torch, quite heavy. Yeah, it's kind of a big old thing. I've still got it. Yeah. They let you keep it.
Wait. Back up. So there's, then that
so
means there's
100 torch. I didn't know that.
So wait a minute. I'm so confused. Don't you hand it off?
Oh, yeah.
So they give you a replica.
No,
of
they
it.
Do. They give you a replica of it. Yeah, oh, I didn't keep the torch. That was, yeah, I passed that on to someone else.
I'm going
to
do some looking into this.
Well, yeah, there just, must be like footage of it.
Oh,
yes.
Are we talking 100 yards or like a quarter mile? Or the none, those don't make sense. Oh, yeah, you can use miles.
I think it was probably a quarter mile, something like that.
Were you drunk?
I don't know. Maybe I'd swine flu. I have no memory. I have literally no memory of it. I remember Boris Johnson. There's like flashes of a crowd.
Oh, I would be so self-conscious about my run. If I like
I
a
know.
Lady camera.
I don't run. It was. I do remember that kind of practicing the run.
Can I be honest about the opening ceremony? Maybe Monica will cut this out.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, this is going to be dicey. I felt very bad for London because the previous summer games had been Beijing.
Oh, yeah,
China. And that was the most elaborate. Like, you just got to enter that thing going, well, we're not going to be able to do what the Chinese did.
Yeah, it's a hard one to follow, isn't it?
It was so spectacular. You didn't even know if, like, is this digital? Like, what's going on here? It makes me think of the 1889 World Fair in Chicago. Maybe it was, that year might not be right. But the previous World Fair, they unveiled the Eiffel Tower.
Oh, Jesus.
And so the people in Chicago were like, what the fuck are we going to do?
There's no point.
And they ultimately ended up designing the first Ferris wheels, what came out
of it. Oh,
that's pretty good. Good.
And I think, we had some moments in the London thing. It was Danny Boyle.
Yeah, and you got to call on this rich treasure trove of culture that England's... You got the fucking Beatles can access. So that's kind of a nice cheat,
The Queen,
I guess.
Bond. Yeah, it was a lot of...
The Queen! We got to talk about the Queen.
Yeah.
Because I'm obsessed with The Crown.
Sure, yeah.
So what are your feelings on the royals?
He's got to be careful, though. He lives in a country... This is like asking us what we think of...
Trump, I'm happy to say.
No, not Trump. We got to do one that's more...
Like the Kardashians? I'm happy to speak on that as well.
No, I think it's more like us speaking publicly about the Pope. That's what I would
say. Oh, okay, yeah. I mean, I think it is probably a divisive thing. There's pros and cons. But I mean, overall, I'm okay with them. They're good. I think they're kind of fun. Okay. I don't really know what they kind of don't have much.
Well, that's because they don't do anything.
They don't do it, but they don't have much power.
Dax does not like the royal.
I am so angered that this great country, England, is still rolling out this pageant.
Yeah.
It's so silly.
The pageantry, I find kind of a bit of a kind of yawn.
In like meritless status.
Yeah.
Like you're born. Like, I don't know why you don't feel about them the way people feel about like trust fund people who are born into $1 billion. It's like, you're not going to look up to them. I'm happy for them. They got $1 billion, but
I'm not looking up to them, but I find it fascinating. And I would probably find it fascinating if there was a family of trust fund people that just was passing down money. Like
that's true.
It's a very interesting story.
Mm. Yeah.
I think it's interesting. Yeah.
Well, the other thing is it ruins their life. So it's not even like, you watch The Crown, and you realize, oh, none of these people got to marry who they wanted to. Princess Di was a beautiful human being that was killed because of this fucking crazy circus. And no one's happy.
Yeah, there's no winners, for sure.
No.
Yeah.
Everyone's losing. I guess the tabloids win. That's who fucking wins. And anytime there's an industry where only the tabloids win, we got to be against it.
I just can't ever see it ever ending. Like, there's never going to be like a revolution.
Right.
Now, surely. I don't know.
And also, what a waste of time that would be.
To get rid of them?
To have a revolution to get rid of the royals.
No, you wouldn't need a revolution. Parliament or whatever would just convene and they'd get a 3/4 vote and go, we've done this long enough.
But
this was cute.
Just let them be.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I met the Queen once. I went to her 80th birthday party.
And do you get a whole primer on how you're supposed to behave before you meet her?
Yeah, there's loads of like, call her ma'am, as in jam. You can't say mom. Can't look her in the eye directly. There was a whole thing.
Like she's a deity.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Well, we did like a show. It was like a sketch we did. They played on this. It was like a big stage variety show for her birthday. And we did like this handbag skit on set.
Okay.
Wow. She's fun. She likes comedy.
Isn't this funny? The confirmation bias. So that's a good story to you and to me. I'm like, Oh, yeah, for her amusement. Like, they got these talented people who have done something in their life, and then for her amusement, they have to perform. Yeah. It's like they're a court jester.
That happens at the White House, too. Mm. Yeah, like they do, like Jason did his, showed his movie there. Like, they do
well,
that.
Well, showing a movie. If they went and screened Harry Potter, but to make these kids do a live sketch for her amusement.
It was pre-recorded.
That's a little less.
It's a strange world.
Yeah, it's all right. Everything's good. I love England. I love their democratic monarchy. What is it called? It's got a weird term that's totally contradictory. Yeah. Okay, we're going to get off this topic. All right, I just wanted to bring up one fun thing about your filmography, which is this could be an American-British thing. So you did a movie in 2010, Wild Target, with Emily Blunt, who we know and love, Martin Freeman, who's just one of my favorites.
He's great.
And then Rupert Everett. There's two Rupert's in that movie. Or am I out to lunch on how many Rupert's there are in England?
There's quite a few. There's Rupert Friend.
We only have Rupert Murdoch in the US.
Oh, Rupert Murdoch, yeah. Weirdly, I wrote a letter to him when I was a kid because we had the same name.
What?
Yeah, my school.
No.
Yeah, my school wanted, they needed money for like something at the school. And they thought, because my name was Rupert, that he would give our school some money. And I think he did.
No, really?
No, he did.
It worked.
It was like a letter, like, oh, hi, Rupert. My name's also Rupert. Can we have some money?
I need some of your money. Yeah. Is that cool?
Yeah.
He did. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I wonder, I'm trying to prepare myself mentally for when I receive a letter one day, especially after this airs, saying, my name is Dax.
Yeah.
So give me some of your money.
You must be the only
I'm trying
Dax.
To think how I'll feel about that.
What is Dax? What's the origin of Dax?
There was a popular book in the 70s called The Adventures by Harold Robbins, and my parents had read it when my mom was pregnant, and the lead character's initials spelled Dax, and he went by Dax.
Oh, cool.
And so they named me Dax, and then I had never met a Dax my whole life, but then once I got on TV, a couple different times people have come up to me at restaurants and said, like, I'm Dax too, and then they were named after that book as well.
Oh, wow, that's cool. Such a big responsibility, naming. I definitely found that with, like, naming our daughter.
Yeah. Were you very vocal? Did you guys have arguments about it? Is it a mutual one?
We always had one name.
Oh. Is it secret?
No, she's called Wednesday.
Oh!
I love that.
Me too.
Oh my gosh.
Rupert.
Rupert, we love that.
We really like it. Why Wednesday?
I don't know. It's actually kind of George's name. She's always wanted to call her kid Wednesday. And it just felt right. We started calling her Wednesday before she was born and it just kind of stuck. She couldn't be anything else.
Now, in the U.S., Wednesday is a day of the week here.
Right. Yeah.
What does it mean in England?
The same. We have that day as well.
You're serious.
Yeah, I guess it's going to be confusing, but it'd be easy for her to kind of spell.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah.
Well, actually, it's the hardest day to spell.
Yeah, it is. It's not logical.
Wednesday? That doesn't even make sense.
Wednesday.
The Ness.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's not an easy one.
Can I tell you, Wednesday's probably my favorite day of the week because it's the first optimistic day.
Yes.
Mm. Like, it's in sight. It's in sight. It's the dawn of optimism.
Yeah. No, I get that. That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to tell her that's why she's named.
Oh,
yeah,
she's the dawn of optimism.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's very good. Yeah, because, I mean, there's a saying. I don't know if you have it in America, but, like, it's like Wednesday's child is full of sorrow. It's a whole, like, rhyme.
Oh, I've never heard it.
No.
I guess it's a poem. And it's, yeah, there's a line in it. It's like, Wednesday's child is full of sorrow. Wow.
Yeah. Let's hope she rejects that part and sticks with the dawn of optimism.
Yeah, I prefer that.
Now let's talk about Instagram because this is a fun story.
Oh, yeah.
So you have a record. You have the record for the fastest trip to 1 million followers.
Yeah.
And just having now met you for an hour, I can't imagine you give a flying fuck about that. But let's talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but I mean, to be fair, that did surprise me. I mean, it's been something I've kind of avoided for so long. It just didn't ever feel really like a me thing. I've never had the need to, like, share anything with the world. But I don't know. I don't know what really prompted me. It was just, I just thought it'd be fun. It's been a kind of crazy year. Why not?
Was it this year?
This year, yeah. It was just a few months ago, really.
And so you got to 1 million followers in 4 hours and change, right?
Yeah. Yeah, amazing. Yeah, I don't really understand kind of what it means. Cool. Yeah, no, it's great. I'm not very good at it. I'm not that
only
good at it.
Six posts.
I know they're all like servant trailers or like servant content.
Yeah. Promotional. I mean, that's good.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind a picture of you in that. Could you dig up a picture of you carrying that torch and post it? People would love that.
Yeah, could do. Yeah.
That's the kind of thing you should be putting up.
That's the content. Yeah.
Maybe it'll jog your memory too.
Yeah. I should rewatch that.
Jog. Oh my God. Really nice pun.
Thank you.
Jog your memory.
Very good. Unintended.
Also, if you popped some photos up of this alpaca collection you have, would be of interest to people.
There's no photos of the alpaca.
None?
Oh. No. There's no record of it.
What about the hovercraft?
Oh, yeah. Possibly. Yeah. I could probably dig up some.
And the ice cream truck.
Oh, yeah. The ice cream truck. Yeah. These are some good ideas. Yeah.
All right. So The Servant just got a season two. No, season two is coming
season
out.
Season two is come out.
It's come out.
It's come out every Friday.
Ugh.
Apple TV Plus
every Friday. This is my favorite thing is when I sleep on a show.
Yeah.
And then there's two seasons, which is so great.
Yeah. I did it with Lost. I've only seen Lost like a few months ago.
Yeah. And did you finish it?
Yeah. It kind of got a little bit kind of insane at the end.
Well, I was so into that show. I started watching it. I was like, this is the most intriguing show of all time. Then there was an episode where they found some weird metal port.
Yeah, the whole time travel.
And then they simply did not address it for four more episodes. And I was like, fuck this show. You introduced a port four episodes ago and no one's talking about it.
They had the writer's strike, I think, in between the making of that thing. So then they had some...
Oh, okay. From the port until they readdressed it. They had the transpo department writing it.
Yeah.
Do you shoot The Servant in England?
No, in Philly.
You do it in Philly. Well, that makes sense because M. Night Shyamalan, right? That's his...
Yeah. That's where he lives, yeah. So we're in this little studio. I mean, we've only got one location. We never leave the house, so it's kind of really great. I love it. And we can film in sequence as well, which is really unusual.
Yeah, that's such a great luxury. Yeah, for people who don't know, quite often you start a movie and the movie's going to start at, let's say, the Astrodome in Houston, and it's going to conclude at the Astrodome, the end of the movie. But they're only going to rent the Astrodome one time. They're going to rent it on the first day, and you're going to film the first scene of the movie and the very last scene of the movie. And you're trying to track where you're going to end up, and you just kind of got to throw a dart at the dartboard at that point.
Yeah, but it's such a unique show, I think, because it's all in one place. Almost feels like... theater, because it's such a small space as well, and we're filming it chronologically, and it feels very kind of different, a very different show.
The house is so sexy. I want that house so bad. Do you love that set?
It's so sexy. It's such a great house. I mean, it's a fully working house as well. Usually with sets it's kind of like a kind of facade, so you can't really interact with it. This is fully immersive. It's like kitchen works, the toilets work.
Wow.
Have you ever shit inside the set house?
No, I didn't.
But you could.
It's good to know it's there.
Have you shot in California?
I did a pilot there maybe like 10 years ago now.
It's most English people's favorite place on planet Earth because the sun is out 365. Yeah. Most people I know that are English that come here, they're like, I can't leave, I don't think.
Yeah, no, it is insane, the weather, not having rain. It almost kind of feels quite unsettling. I really like it. I like to do more there. I've always found it. It's a place that I've kind of grown to like.
It is weird. Like you're driving around, unlike any other place in the country, you're in the acting business. And then every drive you take, you're looking at your peers or colleagues with their new shows on billboards. And you cannot escape being aware of like who's doing what.
Yeah.
It'd be like if you worked at General Motors and there was billboards of like who got promoted to branch manager.
Yeah.
There's Doug.
The anxiety of that. But now I have so much fun there whenever I go. I go there quite a bit.
Well, Rupert, you're a very handsome gentleman and you're very lovely. And you carried the torch, which we likely will know. Oh!
What?
The Olympics are coming to LA.
Are they?
Maybe we can carry the torch.
When? What?
LA's hosting the summer.
Yeah, a while away.
In 100 years. I want to pitch that it'll be the first time ever, I assume. I'll have you on my shoulders and you carry the torch.
Oh my God. That's dangerous and exciting.
It's so exciting. High risk. High probability of error. And also like handing it to the person, you'll be so high up.
Yeah, and I have to lean down.
And we might fall over at that point, catch the person on fire.
Oh, wow.
You better stay tuned.
Yeah, I'm going to watch that one.
Yeah, if we get this job, you better watch us. All right, well, Still Life with Woodpecker.
Yeah, I'm going to get that.
Tom Robbins.
That sounds amazing.
Great talking to you, Rupert.
Thank you, man, yeah.
I'm so into The Servant. Everyone should check it out. Season 2 is now available on Apple TV+. It's very creepy. All right, Rupert, be well.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for doing this.
Pleasure. See you soon. Have a good one.
Stay tuned for more Armchair Expert, if you dare.
We are supported by KiwiCo. This is by far the favorite toy that I've bought my children in the history of having children.
Wow.
You've seen them build them.
I know. They're so, so cool.
And they're so engaging, and they're such confidence builders because they follow the directions themselves, which is so great. Listen, we all have memories and experiences from childhood that shaped who we are. And with a KiwiCo subscription, you and your child get everything needed to create unforgettable moments shipped right to your door. KiwiCo's fun and innovative crates provide engaging science and art projects for kids of all ages. I famously made our solar system. I stole the crate from my children when they were sleeping because I wanted to paint those planets, and I did, and it was a blast. KiwiCo takes exploration to new heights, from sailing to the solar system, harnessing a hydraulic claw, playing pinball, conducting colorful chemistry, and so much more. KiwiCo is redefining learning with hands-on projects that build confidence, creativity, and critical thinking skills. There's something for every kid or kid at heart at KiwiCo. Get 30% off your first month plus free shipping on any crate line with code DAX at KiwiCo.com. That's 30% off your first month at KiwiCo.com. Promo code DAX. We are supported by HelloFresh. Oh, HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. Always giving you pre-measured ingredients with mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door. You can skip those trips to the grocery store and make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. Monica, what did you make your hungry little mouth last night?
I made these ricotta toasts.
Ooh.
It had charred tomato and walnut. It had this balsamic glaze. It was so delicious.
Well, listen what I had. Yogurt marinated curried chicken.
Ooh, yum.
With garlic basmati rice, also roasted carrots, and a cucumber cilantro raita. HelloFresh offers 10 to 20 minute meals, low prep recipes, and quick breakfasts and lunches, perfect for your busy schedule. With 25 plus recipes to choose from a week, there is something for everyone to enjoy. Over 4 out of 5 HelloFresh customers say HelloFresh helps them lead a healthier lifestyle. Go to HelloFresh.com/DAX12 and use code DAX12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping. 12 free meals, including free shipping at HelloFresh.com/DAX12 and use code DAX12. And now my favorite part of the show, the fact check with my soulmate, Monica Padman. Never Hello, welcome back from commercial break. Let's talk about a nice service you provided me with today. You picked me up at my residence at 9:30 a.m. and you transported me to my doctor, and I was given a good bill of health.
Yeah, yay, that's a good update.
Thank you for that.
You're so welcome. It was raining.
It was raining and you were sad. You had your sad, your seasonal affected mood disorder.
Affective disorder.
Oh, affective disorder?
Yeah, that's what it's called. Seasonal affective disorder can also be called seasonal mood disorder, but...
That doesn't spell sad.
Yeah, and that's just because people don't like affective.
It is a weird word.
It's a beautiful word.
It's a great word. I don't want to be on the wrong side of your sad, so I'm going to say it's a great word. Although, is it Pavlovian at this
point? No, I don't think it's not Pavlovian. It took me a while this morning to figure out why I was like kind of
poopy.
Yeah, blah. I was like, oh, I'm blah. I was driving and I was like, oh, it's gloomy out.
Oh, wow. Okay. That wasn't the first thing you noticed when you woke up.
Correct. And oh my God, the T-Rex is wearing a hat.
Mm-hmm. A Michigan hat. That T-Rex is from Michigan. As all great T-Rexes
I'm gonna
are.
Take a picture of
all
it. And we
proud
can post
T-Rexes.
It.
We say this a lot and then we forget. I guess you could post it today and say this will make sense in a week.
Ooh, cliffhanger?
Ooh, foreshadowing?
The picture's weirdly cropped because I don't want you to see some stuff.
What don't you want seen? Oh, by the way, the piss is there.
Water bottle. It is?
Yeah, it's back there. It's under the T-Rex's occipital bun.
Oh, thank God. The pee baby number two is alive.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is helping my sad.
I think at some point it'll just be a culture. Like, I think all the water will have evaporated out of it and it'll just be.
Well, that's the birth. That's the birthing process.
Do you think it'll become amber? Like T-Rex, ding, 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 Jurassic Park. Finding the DNA of the dinosaur in the mosquito that was in the amber.
Oh, my good circle.
Michael back. Crichton.
This was Rupert Grint. I regret that we didn't ask him what his house is.
Mm. Well, having talked to him for an hour, what would you guess?
I don't know. He's hard to pin down because he's a more introverted person.
Yeah, he's not flashy.
Not at all, which I appreciate.
The Hogwarts are flashy, right?
The Hogwarts is the whole...
The Gryffindorf.
Gryffindors are...
They're flashy? They're like brave and showy.
Yeah, I would say.
I mean, we got to be careful with what adjectives we're using. Yeah. We learned our lesson.
Yeah. Did we? Because we're talking about it again. But he's very introverted.
Mm-hmm.
But every time he would say something, I found it to be very interesting and bizarre.
Like
he wrote to Rupert Murdoch when he
so
was
weird.
Little, the ice cream van.
Uh-huh. Hovercraft. He's the first person I've ever met who bought a hovercraft. And I know people who own every kind of machine.
What can you tell me about real-life hovercrafts?
Yeah, so what it does is it has these fans underneath of it. And then
How big is it?
They come in all kinds of sizes. The military one, they can put Hummers on and shit that they took across the sand dunes in Iraq. But the hovercraft, I'm sure he bought is like these kind of smaller search and rescue ones. They're probably 8 to 9 feet long and probably 4 feet wide. I mean, you can put a couple people in them.
Okay.
And then, yeah. And so what happens is it has these fans underneath of it, and then it has a big rubber skirt around it. And it inflates the rubber skirt and it creates a pocket of air. Mm. So the pressure coming out of the skirt elevates it.
Oh.
And then there's fans on back to propel it forward or left or right.
Wow.
And so you can move seamlessly from land to water to any surface because it's just hovering.
How high does it hover?
Inches.
Oh, really?
Well, I mean, the bladder itself, like the side skirts, are probably 18 to 24 inches.
So a couple feet off the ground.
But then the skirt comes down, so it only looks like it's maybe 2 inches off the ground.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
No one has one.
Except Rupert.
In search and rescue people in northern climates.
Oh, that's really funny.
I'm going to buy one.
Oh, my God. Good for you. Anyway, so he is
the owner of a hovercraft.
He is, and he has all these kind of interesting tidbits about him, but...
The farming.
Alpacas, and he just kind of keeps them all to himself, which I kind of like. Like, he's not like, oh, I do all this crazy stuff, and I want to tell everyone about it.
Right. With a different personality, he could be annoying. Like, oh, you're the world's most interesting person. You collect alpacas and drive around in a hovercraft.
Mm-hmm.
But because he doesn't even want to tell you that, it's very charming.
Yeah, and it's clearly not for the showiness of it.
Mm-mm.
I like that.
I wonder if in general, no, that doesn't work for Jess. I was going to say, I wonder if in general, if you have red hair, it's kind of like being tall where tall people slump because they don't want to be sticking out.
Tall poppy syndrome. That's called tall poppy syndrome. I learned that from Dr. Wendy Mogul on an upcoming episode of Nurture vs. Nurture.
Forthcoming.
Mm-hmm.
Heretofore.
I thought that was a very interesting concept. Yeah, people who stand out so much that they feel they need to like kind of shrink and become smaller.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you really prepare eels to cook by nailing them to a board?
Oh, that's a great question. I got to say too, I don't want to yuck anyone's yum, but no thank you on eating eel.
Oh, Iron Chef recommends nailing it to the cutting board by putting a spike through its head and skinning and filleting the eel. Okay, so that's real.
Oof.
That's real eel.
I don't want to get that gnarly in the kitchen.
Yeah, but you're a little bit of a baby in the kitchen. I'm just going to say that. You're not not going to like it. I mean, I already said it. But you didn't. Oh, here we go. Here we go into the fish territory.
Oh, sure.
We're going to wade in.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll say. I don't want to say, but the apartment did smell like fish. It did smell like fish. Now, that is not because of the recipe. Stop laughing. It is not because of the recipe or Allison. It is because of me. It's because, well, and my apartment has, what I'm realizing, zero ventilation, including no hood on the stove.
Yeah.
No nothing.
You're cooking it in a Ziploc bag, basically.
Yes, because even I made eggplant parmesan days later once I got the fish smell out. It took some days. And then that smelled for days. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, it's not really the fish, it's the apartment. However, the fish smell did linger, and it was a problem.
I'm really proud of you for admitting that. I was not going to out you for it.
It was smelly. And you could not stop talking about it, and I was getting bummed out by that.
On the fact check or in real life?
No, in real life. When I admitted to you, I was like, it does smell. I told you.
Yeah.
And then you made a whole to-do about my house smelling. And
well, it was really comical for me because you had a girls' night planned on the next day.
Multiple days later.
Okay. And you were like in a panic, which was just really comical ending to the whole debate.
Yeah. But you made fun of me. You made fun of me a lot.
Oh, I thought it was graceful.
No.
You think I rubbed your nose in it? I don't.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
But it would have been totally funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really trying to think, like, why? I shouldn't be, like, getting irritated by this because he's right and it's funny and who cares? But then I really tried to deep dive and I thought, oh, I'm really sensitive to, like, my house smelling.
Oh, that makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I never really put two and two together.
Oh, but yeah.
Obviously, that's some childhood stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
I should have been more sensitive.
No, why would you think about that?
I guess if you forgot, of course I forgot. Yeah,
exactly. It was fine. Anyway, the smell is gone. The meal was very good. And I've since made multiple other meals. The house smells like that now, too.
Yeah.
So.
But if given the choice between your house smelling like eggplant parmesan the next day or fish, what would you choose?
Eggplant parmesan.
Yeah, me too. I just wanted to make sure.
But I didn't like that either. Honestly,
yeah,
I opened the door and I was like, ew, it smells like food.
Oh.
No, not. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You can't help yourself. Anyway, so I probably won't be making eel anytime in my apartment soon.
A fucking eel. Yeah. I mean, it would have to taste so insanely good to have to deal with nailing its skull to a fucking board and stuff.
People love octopus too. Have you tried it?
No, it's, well, first of all,
they're so smart.
Calamari, the Oceana report showed that like 50% of it is pig anus that you get at restaurants. So right out of the gates, even if I loved it, I don't know that I'd be clamoring to eat it.
What do you mean 50% is pig anus?
That in restaurants, they're selling it as octopus.
No. Calamari is an octopus. It's squid. Squid, yeah.
Yeah. I think a squid is an octopus, isn't it?
Well, like, you can only really get octopus at fancy, fancy restaurants. And I think it's real.
Even then, it's pig anus, I think.
No, I don't think so.
You want me to read you the pig anus thing?
One. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Octopi are very distinct. They have these, like, rings and... I watched a cooking video yesterday of a woman making octopus in her house.
Okay.
And it was a full octopus.
Calamari, pig anus, Oceana. I can only imagine what's going to get advertised to me now. In restaurants everywhere, right this second, people are squeezing lemon wedges over crispy golden rings, dipping the rings into marinara sauce, and they're eating hog rectum. Now they're chewing, satisfied, and deeply clueless. It's payback for our blissful ignorance about where our food comes from and how it gets to us. However, Wheeler did note that pig intestines are edible and are more commonly referred to as pork chitterlings.
Ew.
You know, I don't need to go further into this, do I?
No, but I still think if you order octopus at a nice restaurant, you're getting octopus.
Oh, octopus for sure. But calamari. Yeah.
So this lady made an octopus yesterday, mm-hmm. and I saw the video, and she was holding it up. And people like octopus a lot. Like, it's like...
Delicatessen.
Yeah, a delicatessen.
It's a delicatessen.
I'm so grossed out by it.
Yeah, but it's too much.
But I want to be someone who is open-minded.
Appreciates the finer things in life.
Yeah, but they're really smart, too. So I don't like the idea of eating them.
They
say
they're.
Same with pigs.
Yeah, pigs are real smart.
Mm. Yikes, we ate bacon yesterday.
Just yesterday, yeah. It had been a while, too.
And we ate it today. And I ate it the day before that.
Oh, my God. You're on a bacon tear.
I know. Okay. We talked a little bit already about redheads and pain.
Mm-hmm.
So we probably don't need to go into...
Like Charo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we keep talking about Charo and redheads and pain. We found that redheads were significantly more sensitive to cold pain perception, cold pain tolerance, and heat pain tolerance. Heat pain perception threshold was also lower, but not significantly so in redheads. Okay, so they're saying perception versus tolerance is different.
That is weird.
Redheaders.
Reddies.
Redheads are harder to sedate.
Oh, so they're harder to sedate.
Yeah, it says, in addition, there is a recent evidence that redheads are more...
Redheads.
Oh my God, it's so hard to say. That redheads are more tolerant to local anesthetics and more sensitive to opioids.
Mm. Okay, so local anesthetics...
More tolerant.
More tolerant, and then opiates... Less tolerant.
So, yeah, I guess it requires more anesthesia for a redhead. Does that seem right?
Yes.
But they also feel more pain? This is confusing.
Yeah.
It only occurs naturally in 1% to 2% of the human population.
Redheadedness?
Yeah, that's smaller than I thought. Okay, a number of studies have shown redheads feel pain differently and have different body reactions. For instance, one study found that people with red hair are more sensitive to thermal pain, while another showed that they are less sensitive to a wide array of painful stimuli, including electrically induced pain. So it's not as simple as saying that redheads are more or less tolerant to pain. They just tend to feel pain differently.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
And it makes me picture some weird study that was conducted on redheads with electrical shocks to see how they dealt with it. How do they know this?
Exactly.
They must have rounded up a bunch of gingers and strapped them to some electrodes and zapped them.
The CIA did it.
Yeah, probably.
To make it even more intriguing, research has also shown that redheads require more anesthetic. Okay, that tracks.
All right. Consistent.
Interesting. Okay. You were right about Still Life with Woodpecker.
It's Tom Robbins?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
You're right about that. I hope he reads it. Did H1N1 come from pigs? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Swine flu.
Swine flu. Oh, my God. Okay, so I looked up some Olympic stuff.
Okay.
And.
He was never there.
There's a really funny. This is so funny. There's a quote by him.
By Rupert?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a quote by Rupert that says, the Harry Potter star told BBC News it was an overwhelming experience that he hoped to remember forever. I laughed so hard when I read that.
He already knew he was going to forget it.
He has remembered literally zero.
Doesn't know if it was 100 feet or 2 miles. Doesn't know who he got it from, who he gave it to. He really meant, God, I hope I can remember this tomorrow.
Oh, my God. That made me laugh so hard.
I think it's a little bit of a product of being in the Harry Potter franchises. Like, life is just so spectacular.
Yeah, because we were talking about the queen for a long time.
Yeah,
and then he was like, I met the queen. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, like he just remembered.
Yeah, but... For him, yeah, you're right. I think it probably does have to do with living a heightened life.
This kind of happens too when I talk to people who I've brought to the sand dunes. Like, of course, they remember the trip really, really well. Mm-hmm. Oh, remember we went out and blah, blah, blah. And I don't because, well, A, I've done it 1,000 times and it's the level of heightened excitement is lower because I'm used to it.
Yeah.
And I'm just always aware like, oh yeah, these trips are super memorable for people.
Yeah.
But they're just one of many trips.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so speaking of how far people run, it just says they run a short leg. Almost anyone can carry a torch provided that I don't like that, is at least 14 years old and is able to carry it for at least 400 meters, 437 yards.
Okay, so 1,200 feet.
Okay.
Quarter mile.
Okay, so that's once around the track.
Yeah.
They do like some cool stuff with this torch.
Mm. It's like the Stanley Cup. People drink beer out of it and poop in it and pee in it. Do you know all the stuff about the Stanley Cup?
They poop in it and pee in
so
it?
So the Stanley Cup, when they win, you win physically the same Stanley Cup.
Right, you
there's
give
not
it back.
Multiples. Uh-huh. So they're just holding it for a year. So they take it everywhere. They take it on the tour bus. They take it, and all kinds of shenanigans
Ew.
Happen with the Stanley Cup because
Ew.
Of that.
Yeah, that's
I think they're
disgusting.
All. I think they're all trying to do something that no one else has
Memorable.
Done with the
oh,
cup.
Oh, gross!
And I think a lot of them think that would be pooping in it, but I think most of them have pooped in it.
Who do we know who's won it?
Dion must have been on a Stanley Cup winning team, I'd imagine.
We should find out.
Yeah.
I'd like to know more about this.
And you know, it gets progressively bigger, the cup, because they like weld the that year's.
Oh.
I think.
Wow, we don't know much at all. There's so many rumors, but not enough facts.
I almost think I got an email that was like, do you want to interact with the Stanley
Actually,
Cup?
Actually, I do think you got that year a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But you said no.
Well, I know everyone's pooped in it.
Yeah.
So I don't, like, what would I have, a Diet Coke out of it? Not after what it's been through.
Maybe
I'm sure.
You could have pooped in it, added your own poop.
Too pedestrian. Oh. I'd have to do something
Wow.
novel.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Just like the T-Rex with that cute hat on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The name of Britain's government system, you said democratic monarchy, constitutional
monarchy. Yeah.
Yep.
I thought of that an hour after we left.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
What is the poem about the days of the week, Wednesday's child is full of sorrow? Okay, so the poem is, this version is, Monday's child is fair of face, Tuesday's child is full of grace, Wednesday's child is full of woe, Thursday's child has far to go, Friday's child is loving and giving, Saturday's child works for its living, and a child that's born on the Sabbath day is fair and wise and good and gay.
That's one of the stupidest poems I've ever heard in my life.
Don't
it says
say
absolutely
that.
Nothing. What is that saying?
It's
just so random.
Oh, it's a Mother Goose.
Sorry, Mother Goose. I don't mean to offend, but none of that's true. None of that makes sense.
Well, it kind of makes sense.
No.
Monday's child is definitely fair of face.
Exactly. What on earth does that mean? Oh, man.
Well, Saturday's child works for its living.
I think some people, I think they think, well, if I've rhymed, I've accomplished something. Like, this is a real accomplishment because I rhymed.
Who is Mother Goose? Is that, like, multiple people or, let me look.
No, that would be Mother Geese.
I know, but they're parading around this imaginary author of a collection of French fairy tales and later of English nursery rhymes. So a lot of people, I guess.
Back to that poem. It's just anyone that reads it should think, well, that was a waste of time. There's nothing of value in it whatsoever other than that the words rhymed.
Yeah, sometimes rhyming is fun.
Yeah, sometimes it's spectacular. When Shakespeare does it, it's incredible.
You like it when Shakespeare does it?
I can't understand
exactly.
It. But when someone explains it to me, it's really impressive.
Well, somebody could explain this and maybe it's just as impressive. Somebody explain it to us.
I challenge someone to do that. I accept that challenge.
Okay. Laura has a theory, an armchair theory about you she wrote down here.
Okay.
I'm going to say it. I'm also going to say I don't think she's right, but you tell me.
All right.
She says she thinks you don't like the royals because you're an atheist and people believe that God ordains king or queen. Basically that.
That's a very solid theory. It totally makes sense. That's not my issue with it. It's phony, unmerited status.
Yeah. I don't even think, because you never bring up that God ordained them. So did you even know that?
Well,
I
know that there's always been this complicated relationship with the Pope and the kings of Europe.
Oh, yeah.
And that when breaking during the Protestant Reformation, that came with it this great risk that the Pope would take away their authority to be. But it's all hogwash, you know?
It's all Hogwarts.
It's all Hogwarts. Pringles.
That's all.
Well, thank you so much for that.
Rupert.
You silly son of a gun. So unique.
You silly Valentine.
So playful.
Oh, boy.
You can barely carry a torch.
I love you.
I love you.